So, ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to the first competition press conference this year. We'd like to welcome the opening film of the 72nd Berlin International Film Festival. Les adieux à la reine, farewell my queen. And as ever, we'll start on the right-hand side, and I'd like to welcome Gilles Torrent, scriptwriter. A very warm welcome to the producer, Jean-Pierre Guérin. Playing Gabrielle de Polignac, a very warm welcome to Virginie Ledoyenne. It's been a while since you were in Berlin. The last time was with The Beach. Perhaps some of you might recall that. Playing Sidonie, a warm welcome to Léa Seydoux. In 1996, in the Panorama, A Single Girl, a warm welcome to the director, Benoît Jacquot. And a guest who's really part and parcel of the festival. Last year, we ended the festival with her, and we're delighted now to open this festival with her, Diana Kruger, playing Marie Antoinette. Next to me is the other producer, the co-producer, Christina Larsson. A very warm welcome to you too. There's a question here at the front. Please do remember to wait for the microphone. Maciej Berlin from the Polish Radio. I have one question for the scriptwriter. I'd be very interested to know which sources you used in doing research for this film. What were your particular sources of inspiration in literature, in historical literature, and last but not least, in art as well? And indeed, in art history. And I would also like to put a question to the director. I felt it was very important in this film to take the film music, the score, and the sound design into account. I think that made a very great contribution to this film. So perhaps you could say a few words to us about working on the score and generally about the sound design, exactly how it came into being. Thank you. Well, first of all, the question that wasn't put to me about Marie Antoinette, about the Queen, I think the greatest challenge was really opening the Berlin Film Festival, being the opening film. I think that is a great challenge. And I was talking about the Queen. I mean, if she'd known that she would be the opening film at the Berlinale, she would have been absolutely delighted. And that would have cheered her up a bit and lifted her spirits in those very troubled days. I feel like saying that, of course, quite apart from Chantal Thomas' wonderfully written book, I almost forgot about literature, text, sources. I spent hours and hours reading various sources, historians, documents about that era. And indeed, specifically about those few days from the 14th of July, that famous night when the king was woken up. He felt nothing was happening, but actually everything was going to fall apart up until the 17th. In fact, we added another day with Benoît. We extended that period of the revolution. And what I was the most fascinated by was the way in which everything went off the rails and became unregulated. The way in which Chantal Thomas talks about this, I think, is a very good basis for thinking about this. That was certainly our underpinning. The question is whether you're working as a historian. I mean, it happens all the time when you're a scriptwriter and you're asked to adapt a chapter from the history of France. Of course, there's always specialists of the era who do not agree. and there are an infinite number of aspects which one could quibble with, of course. Marie Antoinette, of course, was very hard to really get a handle on. She was somewhat ephemeral in a sense. Now, Sidonie was invented, and that gave us a great deal of freedom. There's also a very fascinating source of information for script writers, and that's the internet, Google. If, for example, you've got writer's block and you wonder what the miracle project was that was used for mosquito bites in the 17th century, well, you just Google it and you find out it's rosewood. And that is something that no scriptwriter could ever simply dream up, no matter how rich their imagination. So you spend a lot of time doing that kind of research into all those tiny details. And I think that's more important than the real historic layering. But the really tangible things, the intimate things, I feel are very important. And working with Benoit, focusing on the adaptation, we wanted to be as close as possible to the concrete, tangible sense of those days, to the stench and to the beauty of Versailles in that era. And I think this is something which doesn't really trickle through into many works. In a sense, it's the birth of a very intimate view of the Queen. And I think that's all I have to say for now. Picking up on what Gilles has just explained so very precisely, as a matter of fact, what's important to me is to have a screenplay which, even if it talks of the distant past, makes everything that I film as present as possible, so that the actor's performance is very present for us as well, for contemporary audiences. So elements which make the situations, the characters, their daily lives more intimate, makes matters more tangible, more solid, more present and real, even if they date from a century far, far from ours. That brings them much, much closer to us. As to the music, to pick up on your other question, there's been several films where I've been working with Bruno Coulet, who produced the score. And we worked in a rather unusual way. The music is actually composed pretty much before we start shooting. And that means that that score is an organic, integral part of the film that I want to make. I know more or less what the music is going to look like. It certainly what kind of rhythm it will have, even before I start directing, and that's very important to me. A question in the back. Could you stand up? Question at the front. Christine Laurencher from Montreal. My question is for Mr. Jacot. And I'm putting this question to you in terms of an artist of the cinema. Now, changes of perspective, that's one of the topics of the Berlinale, and you like that in the way in which you film changes of perspective in cinematic terms as well. And there's also another change in perspective, because we're moving from film stock to digital. And I wonder whether you're ready to make that leap, if you'd be ready to film in digital. I don't know anything about the format that was used for this film. Well, yes, you don't know, and you probably won't know, neither will I, in a sense. But would you be willing and ready to film in digital? Oh, yes, it was actually shot in digital. What does that change for you, shooting in digital? Well, to tell you the truth, to be quite sincere, it does make some changes, but they're all for the better. I know that that's not what many of my colleagues say. Many of them lament the eras of chemical processing, of film stock. It's my 20th film. I produced 19 of them with traditional film stock and traditional processing. This is the first one that I've shot in digital. And I don't actually think that I'm ever going to go back to traditional film stock. I mean, it might be a little silly to say this. It might be a little oversimplified as a response. I don't drive, as a matter of fact. I don't don't have a car. But it's a bit like saying in the automated age, in the era of the car, that you actually prefer horses in a way. I mean, saying that we should all work with film is a bit like saying that everyone who drives a car should ride horses. And what about the performance, the acting? Well, yes, you never have that kind of cut that you used to have, that kind of caesura. And it was wonderful because I had enormous long stretches of text. I couldn't sleep for weeks on end. I didn't know how I was going to get it all into my head. And you don't have to worry about film. Well, Diane, it's the first time she's shot with me. Virginie has already worked with me twice on two films, actually, prior to this one. And we didn't wait either. Well, yes, but you know, if you have film. No, no, we didn't wait for anything. We just got on with it. It was the same thing on the set as well. And there are colleagues who shoot more slowly than me. And I reckon that for them, it was probably a revolution, certainly. A question in the middle. Well, I'm sorry, what exactly was your question about the revolution, precisely? Ah, yes. Yes, I do think that class struggle continues to exist and that it's a relevant topic as well. I don't know if this film is about class struggle, class against class, but yes, certainly that is touched upon. Well, could you put the question to me again? I'm not quite sure I heard everything. Preferably speaking into a microphone, if possible. I'm sorry, but it's not possible to interpret without the microphone being on. Well, I'm very happy to be here for these two films. It's the very first time that I've been here. They're very different films. That was that, really. Which two films do you mean? The two films that are being screened here with you in them? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And she also wants to know. The lady's asking you how you feel. It's the first time that she sees you really in a major role in a major film. Maybe you could reply to that point. Well, yes, thank you very much. And yes. Well, yes, I'm very proud. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you, anyway. Thank you. Question here on the other side. A question from Mr. Jacquot. In 2011, we saw the end of a lot of empires, a lot of reigns, right across the Arab world, for example. To what extent has this atmosphere of the end of reigns, the end of an era, influenced you in making your film, the end of a reign? How is that relevant when we talk about your film? Well, yes, that, in a sense, is the very quintessence of the film. It's the subject matter of the film. It's not even about the influence of this. I mean, that's the real heart of the film. It all turns around at the end of a reign. And personally, I find that kind of end of reign something very positive and fascinating. And so it was exciting and fascinating for me from all kinds of aspects. A question on the right-hand side, right at the front. A question from Ms. Kruger. You look so gorgeous in the film with those wonderful dresses and the wonderful jewelry. And how did you feel in these fantastic dresses? Do you really feel even more womanly, even more feminine wearing these fantastic dresses? Well, there's always two sides to it, in a sense. And it's fantastic the very first time that you try them on, the corsets and so on, in the dress rehearsals. It's a real dream, not just for me as an actress, but for me as a woman as well. But it's always a bit tricky. I, in a sense, hate costume films where all you do is look at the production design and the dresses and the hair and all the rest of it. In a sense, you need to forget about that. And I had to forget about that in order to be able to act. In this film, it was very important to me as well to bear in mind this is the end of an era. And the costumes are gorgeous. But it's not the point in time when it was the real climax of that style, when women had ships in their high hairstyles. So you need to see the woman Marie Antoinette here, not just the queen, because it's a very personal impression of Marie Antoinette that we have here. Question from the other side. Well, it wasn't so hard to shoot in Versailles. Versailles doesn't open up terribly much. It gives you a chance to shoot on Monday when the castle is closed to visitors. And the other days you can shoot, but the general public is there, which makes it a bit tricky. But bearing that in mind, I think that the work that we did was to find settings in various castles around Paris. And that allowed us to have interior scenes that totally reflected the situation at Versailles. Of course, you can't forget about the Hall of Mirrors, because that's an absolute one-off. And Benoit did very well with his location scouting, because in these other castles, you feel as if you're in Versailles. But quite a lot of it is shot in Versailles. We were there for more than a week, but we found links to other castles, as I said, around Paris, these marvelous chateaux. So there wasn't really a problem vis-a-vis Versailles. And as I have the floor, let me just say one thing. Something that I found really intriguing in this film. I bought the rights when Chantal Thomas' book was released in 2002. And what really fascinated me was Sidonie's role, the way in which the story is narrated through her. She's a kind of groupie of the queen. And she doesn't see the world crumbling around her. All of the people in this film focus on their everyday life. And I think that's something which affects all of us. We often have trouble becoming really aware of the way in which the world has been turned topsy-turvy. But you can even think about the wall falling, for example, all kinds of historical events. We often don't realize that the world has changed completely. So we have a costume drama here, and you can feel affected by that today as well. You can learn about today by looking at the past. That's what's striking. And I think that Gilles Benoit's work is absolutely striking. It's very precise. It's very modern. I have one question, if I may. Mr. Jacquot, there were two things which I found striking in your film. First of all, the people is made of an inflammable fabric. And the other was, the people does not want just want bread, they also want power. My colleague already touched on the question of Ben Ali and so on and so forth. When you started making this film, was there already a sense in the air that the Arab Spring would be coming along? Or was it just completely by chance that you started working on a history which, in a sense, is reminiscent of Ben Ali's court, one might say, the Dauphin there as well, and the way in which his regime was overturned? Well, no, of course, there's very different perspectives here. There's different places, different situations. We talked about the end of reigns. All ends of reigns are similar in a way. There are leitmotifs that occur running through all of them. And in a sense, these phenomena necessarily hang together. It seems to be impossible to do any differently, no matter which ideology or social class you're looking at. The situation is going to unfold in the same way, right at the very, very end of a reign, the very last days, the last days of total panic, because in a sense, it's like a very high-speed shipwreck. Everyone's in a total panic. For millennia and millennia, these eras have had similar common traits. And it's interesting to look at those, to identify them, just as we see here in the film. But we should remember, too, that as far as France was concerned, and indeed perhaps even Europe, those precise days are a point in time when everything pivoted in a very decisive fashion. And that's one of the crucial points in the history of Europe. From Agence France Presse, a question for the actresses. Benoît Jacquot is often said to be a feminine filmmaker and a filmmaker of the feminine. Virginie Le Doyen, you know him well, but I wanted to ask the other actresses too, did you feel there was a particular presence of his camera that you were filmed with a particular kind of tenderness, perhaps one might put it in those terms? Tenderness. A tenderness, that's a nice word. Well, yes, a tenderness and a love of actresses, certainly. But it's true that Benoît is certainly a director who's fantastic at directing young femininity. Well, yes. I think both Léa and Virginie would agree with me on this one. Yes. He sees women not just as objects, not just as beautiful beings. The role that he ascribes to women is very complex. He gives them striking, complex parts as well. That's unusual for a male director as well, to really get inside the psyche of a woman, to get inside her intimate being. So that's very striking. He's got a very clear, precise sense of that. Let me add something as well. There's something that's always very unsettling but very pleasant with Benoît. I've often said this, but I'll say it again. He films actresses very well with a great deal of desire, but he also produces documentaries on actresses in a sense. He films the actress playing her role in her part, and I think that's what really gives a real corporality to his films and really puts flesh on the bones of his films, and I think it's wonderful to be directed by him. Well, you're picking up on what you've just said, and Benoît Jacquot, I'd like to hear a little bit from you about this. I was fascinated by the beauty of your actresses, the beauty of the characters too. I wonder about the role of beauty in your decision to choose these three actresses. Well, beauty is not so important unless you have the splendor of truth. I mean, that might be a little over the top. That was Plato who said that. Beauty is the splendor of the true. So a beautiful woman, as far as I'm concerned, is only beautiful if she is true. And what I hope that actresses will do over and above their beauty is that they will be true, that they will be authentic, and therefore that their beauty will be true. Because cinema is an instrument of truth. It's not an instrument of lies, contrary to what many might think, and that's very important to me. Here at the front, there's another question. Yes, that she's a very good actress. Well, how should I put this? It's a way of shooting. As Diana was saying, a way of receiving, welcoming the actors, and in this case, primarily actresses. So the idea is that I don't set them into a historic world. It's not a setting of the past that's the most important. Of course, they're in costumes, they're in historic settings, certainly. But what's important to me is to give them a sense that there's no caesura between the point in time when they're shooting and what they're supposed to be representing. There's a sense of continuity, in a sense, so they're not talking as they would talk nowadays, certainly. But they didn't act situations that you might imagine one-to-one nowadays. But relates to the way in which you shoot as well, with one sequence, one set of images coming on, following on from another, and I try to show that things have to happen in this way because that's how they have to happen, as if it were in the present. So it's as if all of this were unfolding and unfurling in the present with a certain inner necessity, and so the film gives this sense of presence and indeed of the present, I hope at least. But there's two different ways of making historical dramas, costume films reconstituting the past. You can do it in a historiographic way, in a kind of antiquarian way, with a desire to depict a world in itself, but a world set apart nonetheless, or, on the contrary, and this is rather my way of working, seeking to render this as present and as contemporary as possible, without any anachronisms, of course, but as present as possible in terms of what you're depicting. And it was very important to me that Leah, Diana, Virginie, that they were in their costumes acting not as if they were wearing special costumes, but as if they were in their own dress at that very moment. They weren't disguised, camouflaged in costume or anything like that. Perhaps I could put this question to the actresses as well. I wonder how you perceived this modern, the sense of the contemporary, and how you experienced what Benoît has just told us about. Well, the actresses, they have to go along with it. It's hard for them to wriggle out of this, in a sense. I mean, you know, I hypnotize them, I mesmerize them, they don't really know what I'm up to. That's what he thinks, anyway. Well, yes, certainly they know what they're doing, but it's very complicated for them to, in a sense, analyze this. In a way, I can, because after all, it's up to me to do that. I'm the one who analyzes this and constructs an argument on that, but I'm sure that nonetheless they could say something very intelligent on this if they felt like it, certainly, of course. Question at the back. One question to Ms. Kruger from the CDF. There's two parts to this question. The Berlinale, you're dear to your heart now, you're on the jury, you presented a film. What does the Berlinale mean to you, and why is it so dear to your heart? What's special about it? And the second question, just briefly, why was this film so important to you and so dear to your part that it should be the opening film here? Well, I must say, I'm really excited to be here today. I think sort of the few occasions on which I can remember not having slept. I hardly slept a wink last night. I'm German. I'm from Germany. And coming home, it's very different than presenting a film in a different country. And being in the competition is always fantastic, of course. But being the opening film is extra special. And with this role, as well as the French Queen, although she came from Austria, which in those days was part of Germany, it's really a dream I would never have actually dreamed to dream that it would become true in 100 years of Babelsberg as well. And I think that this year is something very special. I'm sure I'll remember it all my life. Another question on the right hand side. First of all, congratulations for this film. I really loved it. One minor point of criticism as to the king, the character of the king. I felt that that was kind of weak, in a sense, not terribly convincing, in a way. Did you want to portray him in this way intentionally, in a sense telling the story of women first and foremost? Did you perhaps neglect the fate of men somewhat? Is it me that you're asking? Well, yes, mostly you. Well, it seemed important to me that Louis XVI should appear in a way as a king, as a figure who was indecisive, awkward, almost bourgeois. He was dubbed a bourgeois king at the time. He has an almost immature touch to him. It's in a sense as if the character is not quite complete. It's just sketched out roughly. And that means that in the scene with Diana, That's the one where we really see him for some time, the one when he comes to talk to Diana, and Diana's just had a real nervous crisis, almost a breakdown. He brings a sense of simplicity along with him, a sense of bonhomie, something that I liked very much. It may appear surprising, but I felt that was positive. Xavier Beauvoir, of course, is a very famous director. Being an actor is not his main job, so of course, in a sense, it's a choice, but it's a choice that I'm very happy about. And there are several directors acting in the film. There's three directors actually acting in the film. Noémie Lvovsky, Xavier Beauvoir, and Jacques Nolo. So three French directors are acting in this film. Well, they play roles which, in a sense, presume a kind of staging or orchestration of one's sense, a mise en scène. The king, of course, Noémie Lvovsky, who was Madame Campan, she's in charge of staging the queen's entourage. And Jacques Nolo, well, he's a nobleman in the corridors. I don't know if it's a bit like a panicked director. It's a bit like a director who's got no idea where to put his camera. And that came across in that scene in the corridor. And we shouldn't forget about the king, but there are also three wonderful queens, wonderful women here. Farewell, My Queen, the opening film this evening for the 62nd Berlinale. So every success to the film this evening, and wonderful that you're here with us. Thank you for being with us.
RadioCinema.it